If you've been on the internet lately, or if you know any teenagers, you've probably heard about the video sharing social network TikTok. Having blessed the world with Lil Nas X as well as hours upon hours of short creative videos, TikTok has successfully branded itself as a silly, trend-setting, fun platform. But it came to light last year that some content on TikTok has been censored due to personal politics and identity. Is TikTok censorship a preservation of positivity in its online community, or is it more of an overreach? Here to chat more about this, we have Dr. Paul Byron, a postdoctoral research fellow in digital and social media from the University of Technology, Sydney. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you.
So, Paul, TikTok is globally used and Chinese-owned, and it's one of the fastest-growing social media apps today. What do you think attracts so many people to the platform?
I think it's a fun platform. It's easy to use. You could say the best bits of many other platforms rolled into one. Mm-hmm.
So TikTok has said that it censors content to minimize conflict. To what extent is this a good or a bad thing for its users?
Yes. Well, as many people have pointed out, they censored content in terms of prevention of bullying, or that was the reason that was given, particularly late last year. So protection and censorship are two very different things. So I think they've since said that was a bad idea and that they no longer do that. But again, with any moderation process, and we've seen that on pretty much every platform over the years, we often don't know how things are being moderated or regulated or withheld or shadow banned, all those sorts of things. And it's usually when someone fairly high profile gets blocked or banned that that gets out.
Yeah, and particularly when it comes to high profile cases like that, obviously being owned by the Chinese government, you know, at the depth of TikTok's roots, to some extent on the platform, I see that there's a lack of discourse about the influence of Chinese politics, and particularly when it comes to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Do you think TikTok's roots in Chinese influences affect its content moderation?
Well, that's the general opinion, I think. Again, we have very little access to where and how those decisions are being made. I guess given the lack of political content, that could be seen as negative towards the Chinese government. And again, when we're talking about blocking or banning content, it's often just not circulating content. So someone might post something and it doesn't show up in other people's feeds. So there's different layers of that as well, which I think is quite interesting. And Tumblr certainly did that when they had their not safe for work ban. Their initial message was, no, we're actually not deleting any content. We're just not making that content visible to other users.
So TikTok admitted in December that it had moderated certain content to combat bullying on the app. It had censored users that its artificial intelligence had kind of identified as, you know, fat, disabled, or LGBTQ+. Does this level of moderation happen in other social media spaces?
That's a good question. Again, it's hard to know. Certainly Instagram and Twitter have come under a lot of, they've kind of caused a lot of discussion around particularly sex work. Or sex workers using their platforms, and usually through shadow banning, which again is sort of not like blocking an account, but making sure what's posted is less visible or not visible to other users. And of course, that kind of relates to the Foster Sester rules that came in at the time and concerns around certain sexual content in particular. It's definitely something that comes up time and time again. I mean, Facebook has also been under fire a lot for that sort of thing. But I think this is what was interesting about the TikTok case was, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to be one of the few times that the platform stepped up and said, yes, we did do that. And gave a reason, which wasn't the best reason, but did say that they would no longer be doing that. So there's something interesting there, I think, about the responsiveness to these complaints, which I don't see happening too much on other platforms.
Yeah, so you mentioned that TikTok said that they weren't going to do this moving forward, but do you think that there is a healthy way to maintain safe spaces through moderation on social media?
That's a really good question, and it's something that nobody has solved. There's a great book by Tarleton Gillespie that came out a couple of years ago around content moderation, and he engages with people who are moderating content on social media platforms. And it kind of, there's certain circularity there. The more you kind of, I guess the more users you have in a particular space, the more people are kind of testing the boundaries of what's suitable or ethical to have as content in that space. And then there's more need for moderation, which kind of leads to, a factory of people approving and could itself be harmful for them. And I think Gillespie's argument is that there's no uniform way to approach this, given that every platform will have different cultures of use and different kind of users groups. So TikTok, you've got a very young user group. Tumblr, I think, is an interesting example, given that it didn't block a lot of content for its first 10 years or so, which actually created what I think a lot of LGBTQ young people I've spoken to talk about as safe space.
Yeah.
Given that it was a free and open forum, and given that it was a space that had endless content as well, so you could find your own little corner, your community, your kind of networks, and you were relatively unbothered.
Yeah.
I mean, you also were, like, there was a lot of bullying and kind of fighting that went on there as well. But I think the kind of openness, based on what I guess high-volume users have told me, has kind of generated, or did generate, a feeling of safety, which I think is quite interesting, because we do tend to think that more moderation, regulation, more rules, more checking will make for a safer space. But I don't think that's usually the case.
Yeah, it sounds more like it's the users who actually create the spaces that they seek to have by finding common groups.
Yes, yep, absolutely. And even with, yeah, I was reading a few accounts of people who were affected by the TikTok content moderation. In particular, LGBTQ users who said that they actually, you know, had experienced bullying on TikTok, but by and large, they received a lot of support and, you know, a lot of love from people watching and liking and engaging with their content.
Yeah.
So there's something about, I think, the volume of abuse or bullying that's usually, and for the groups, so disabled people, fat people, and queer people in particular, I suspect the common experience would have been that the support was much, much higher than the level of bullying.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today, Paul.
No worries.
That was Dr. Paul Byron from the University of Technology, Sydney, discussing TikTok, censorship, and identity. You're listening to Drive on 2SER.